Amen. Thanks, Deb. Okay. Well, boy, that was wonderful, wasn't it? I'd like for you to please turn in your Bibles to the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. That's where we're going to go. This was something that came up earlier this week in little fellowship we do on Wednesdays. And I wanted to just take some time this morning and teach these beginning verses here in chapter 3 of 1 John. They're loaded. They're absolutely loaded. I suppose 10 years from now, you know, look at these three verses and go, oh, how did I miss that? I don't know. But there's a lot here. So what I'd like to do is we're just going to read these verses, and then we're going to go back and take a look at some of the words and a little bit of the depth of what we're reading here, okay? So, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Isn't that beautiful? Just to read it, it's like, okay, that's good groceries right there. Back to verse 1, it says, "Behold." And I want you to keep your finger in this section, because we're going to come back, or maybe put one of your ribbons there if you have a ribbon. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read a little something there in a minute. This word, sons, is a word that means child or children. It's not the word that means a small or a little child. In other words, Joanna is my child. Right? She's my child. She's an adult. She's married. Now, if I were to say in English, Joanna is a child, what would I be saying? A little different, right? That was just for teaching purposes, honey. But she's my child. That's this word, that sons, that we're called the sons of God. It's the word children. That's often, most often how it's translated. So we are the children of God, and that's referring back to what was talked about in chapter 2, the Christ, believing on the Christ, believing on the only begotten Son, okay? And that righteousness that comes because of that. So we're children of God, and then it says that love. And here in Romans chapter 5, and I think we looked at this a couple weeks ago at some point, I don't remember now. But in Romans chapter 5, in verse 5, it says, "And hope makes not ashamed," or doesn't disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad or poured out. It's been poured out in our hearts by Holy, King James says Holy Ghost. It's referring to the gift of Holy Spirit here. See? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by way of the gift of Holy Spirit, which is given to us. It's given to us. That Spirit of God has been simply given to us. You know, God demonstrated His love in the giving of His Son while we were yet enemies. And that love was poured out in the giving of the gift of Holy Spirit. There should never, in the mind of a saint who has manifested Holy Spirit, there should never be a doubt of God's love. His absolute, unconditional love for you. Right? Right. Those who have not manifested Spirit, those who have not been taught, I can kind of understand. But not those of us who have seen it. Not those of us who have tasted it. See? Because that's how He poured it out in that gift of Holy Spirit. Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to come back here in a couple minutes. So it was poured out in that gift of Holy Spirit. Now in Romans 8, verse 15 says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." This use of spirit in this context is referring to a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of bondage. It's due to a fear of death. It's due to the world, the adversary, and what he's done. That lifestyle of bondage. Those who don't have God as their Father. To those who God's love has not been poured out and demonstrated in the Christ. See? We have not received a lifestyle of bondage. But you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." See, because we're His sons. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. You see? That Spirit, and in this context here, you got to go all the way back through the chapter. I'm not going to take the time to do it. But the use of Spirit here is referring to that new nature, that all that we've received, the totality of it, of which the gift is part of that. That gift of Holy Spirit. But it's more than that. It's the totality of it. It's the ability to walk with the Father, to communicate the Father, to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ, to manifest who God is. Joy, peace, long, all those things that are involved with the very nature of God that's been born within. Isn't that neat? The totality of the new nature bears witness with our spirit that we are the what? I don't need for God to testify to the gift of Holy Spirit that I'm a child. I need what I've received from God to testify to me. And that's this use of Spirit here. Me. This use of Spirit is the characteristics, the spirit of man. It's used many times in the Word like this. Spirit of man. It testifies to you that you're what? A child of God. The gift is part of that. You're manifesting the gift, walking with God, God talking, all of that. Look at your life, the blessings. God, I knew that was going to happen. How God answers prayer. just all the things that are manifested in that new nature as a son or a child of God testifies what? Who I belong to. See? And not only that I'm a child of God, but that I'm an heir of who? Or with who?
Christ.
With the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? See? And that's now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. This isn't something that, you know, we hope for. This is now we're the sons of God. Right now we have access to the throne of God. Right now we can go before God with our hearts. Right now we can walk with God. Right now we can manifest the power of that Spirit. We can manifest Jesus Christ. All of those things right now. Done. Now let's go back to 1 John. Okay. Did I kill it? No. It seems pretty solid. Verse 2. Beloved. And you know, the world, this is kind of neat. The world knows us not because it what? It knew him not. The world will never get it. It didn't get Jesus Christ. It didn't understand. And it's not going to understand you and I. That is something that every saint, if he's really going to walk with God, if he's really going to make Jesus Christ his Lord in his walk, is going to have to come to terms with. The world ain't going to get it. The world is going to think you're nuts. The world's going to think you're stupid. The world's going to think you're foolish. You're shallow. You're superstitious. Short-sighted. Unrealistic. I love that one. Unrealistic. Like, this world is real. Oh no, there's no fraud going on here. Jeez. Anyway. Yeah, Santa Claus. Okay, whatever. But the world ain't going to get it. So we don't seek that. We don't seek the world's understanding. We don't seek the world's approval. See? You know, this is something that's easy to accept mentally. It can be another thing to accept in your life and in living and in walking. You know? Nobody wants to be looked down on. Nobody wants to be made fun of. But what we're going to see here is that what we have is so much bigger. It's so much bigger. When I am walking who I am and what I am in Christ, it's the world that's going to back off. The world is going to be reproved. Don't let the world back you down. And if it does, you just got to get more of the word in you so you see this stuff and get it. Because it's the truth. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the children of God, sons of God, children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. It has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. For we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like him. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be. Now, there are things in God's Word that God has given us in light of what we have coming at the return of Christ and beyond. But it's not yet been revealed. Keep your ribbon here. And I want you to turn to, you guys know this, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this section here is talking about love. The love. Okay? And I want to pick it up in verse 8. It says, charity, that love, the love, charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall what?
Vanish
away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in what? In part. But when that which is what? We're moving, we're talking about a time. I know this has been handled another way, but we're talking about a time when tongues will what?
Cease.
Right. We're talking about a time when knowledge, and it's talking about this word of knowledge, when it's going to what?
Vanish.
What time would that be? Well, but when that which is perfect is come, we're going to get the answer here in a minute. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be what? Done away. Now, I know from God's word in three different places in the church epistles, it tells me that what we've received is a token, a deposit of what we have coming. That Spirit of God that we have born within, that gift which has been poured out, and all that's associated with the new birth is a token. It's just a token, a deposit of what we have coming. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. When I was a child, I read it right. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay, so in a context here, we've got an analogy going on here. Now, we see through a glass obscurely, darkly, obscurely. But then, face to face. Okay. Now you can see in the context this then face to face lines up with when that which is perfect is come, lines up with being a man. Right? Sure. The other lines up with being a child, seeing obscurely, not understanding. I just thought how often a child thinks they understand something and they voice their understanding that's not even close to them. But boy, they say it with all authority. Anyway, now we see through a glass obscurely, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I what? Know, even as I am known. And I want to get as close to that as is possible for me to get right now. And now abides faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. In this context, it's love. when that which is perfect has come. Now we see through a glass darkly. Then it's face to face. In 1 John, it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But what are we now? We're sons. We're children. We're children of the Most High God. Isn't that something? Let me show you something else on our way back to 1 John. Let's stop in Philippians. Chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 17, and then I'm going to jump to verse 20. Verse 18 and 19 are parentheses. I just kind of want to follow the thought. Verse 17, brethren, be imitators together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Verse 20, for our conversation, and that word conversation is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven because we're children of who? Of God. Our citizenship is in heaven from whence we look, we patiently wait, is this word look, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile or humiliated body that it may be fashioned or have the same form as his glorious body. We're going to be like him. Fashioned or formed like his glorious body according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13 to the end of the chapter, that section ends with, we shall forever be with him. In 1 John, it's not yet been revealed, but we'll be like him. Here in Philippians, we will have a body fashioned like his glorious body. In Thessalonians, we will forever be with him. We will be like him. We will be with him. In 1 Corinthians, we will know even as we are known. Isn't that something? That's mind and body. That's new mind and new body. We will know. We will be formed like his glorious body. And right now, we have the token of it. See? And as cool as that token is, all the power that's latent within that token, the power to make known the Christ, the power to heal, the power to bring forth a message from God, the power to speak and hold forth God's word, all those things are just a token. That token is greater than the power of the devil and all of his hosts. The token is greater than that. Isn't that something? That's some stuff to think about. Let's go to back to 1 John, please. First John, verse 3. And this is where we're going to, what I wanted to get to. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Okay. Now this word purifieth, it means to sanctify or to separate. Whoso has this hope in himself sanctifies or separates himself, even as he is separated. He's unmixed by way of that separation. Hence, it's translated pure here. It's a form. It's one of the hognose words. I think it's hognizo. But it's to sanctify. See? Whoso has this hope. You know, in Romans 8, it goes on. We read 15, 16, and 17. But it goes on in that parenthesis. Well, let's just go there. Let's go there. Let's just read it. Romans 8. Verse 18. I reckon. I put this all together. You know, this is what it adds up to. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, called a short time in Peter, are not worthy. It's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. It's not been fully revealed yet what that's going to be. It's going to be pretty cool. For the earnest expectation or the intense yearning of the creation waits for the manifestation or the clarifying or the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to uselessness, not willingly, but by reason of him, God, who has subjected the same in hope or upon a hope. See? Adam did what he did, screwed up the whole ball of wax, and God subjected that creation to a hope. The day's coming. See? Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of who? Man, who's the creation waiting on? Us! The world says and tries to get you to think and believe that we wait on the creation. And if we don't take care of the creation will destroy us. This is no joke. The creation is waiting on who? Us. And as long as you and I are here, this place ain't going nowhere. So pray for global warming, because I don't like it. Okay? Sorry. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. It's going to come. It's going to happen. For we were saved to hope, is how it should read, or upon a hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We were saved to hope. This is not the end game. It's the return of Christ that's the end game. It's eternal life. That's the end game. It's the new body that we're going to receive at his return. That's the end game. It's knowing as we are known. That's the end game. And that will culminate with God himself dwelling with men. That's the end game. Whoso has this hope in himself, what? Purifies himself. Now, I want to show you one more section of Scripture, and it's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. So sorry to get off on that little tangent there, but I get so sick of it.
I really do.
I'm so tired of it. Sometimes it just gets to me. Global warming. My God. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is so great. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, this is obviously a figure of speech. Okay, your mind doesn't have loins, and you're not going to gird it out. But it's an idiom, and it's a type of figure. And what they would do is their robes, they would gird them up when they were going to run or work. That's what it meant. Prepare your mind for work. That's what it means. Gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare yourself. And here's what the work is to culminate in. Be sober. And hope to the what? To the end. And what this word end is to the nth degree. It's not to the end of your life. It's to the nth degree. It's the same as when it says in John, he loved them unto the end. See, to the nth degree he loved those men. We hope to the end. You know, you've heard me phrase it, you know, we put all our eggs in this basket. This is a good basket. We put all our eggs in this basket. Hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revealing of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, we're children of God. When? Now. Now what we're reading is, okay, as obedient children. And a big part of that obedience is to hope. Right? Isn't that what we're just reading? To hope. To hope to the end. See? To put your eggs in that basket. The hope. The return of Christ. We hope to the end. As obedient children. Now get this. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So you have hoping to the nth degree, and you have fashioning yourselves to the former lusts. Five senses, desires. One is about the return of Jesus Christ, eternal life. One is about now. Right? Then it says, But as he, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And the word conversation is manner of living. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I am holy. The world lives in light of its fleshly desires and what it can get out of the world. The child of God is to live in light of eternal life and the return of Jesus Christ. And the more that I build that hope and the understanding of the return, and that's what it's all about. The more I will separate myself and become less and less mixed with the things of this world or of this life. What becomes critical, what becomes important is
what I have coming in the future. This is nothing. This is a vapor. You know, if we live 80 years, it's nothing. See, the adversary loves it when the believer puts it all in the now. All in the now. Everything's about now. My focus is now. My focus is now. God says, focus on the return. Because that's what it's all about. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
Now, in the meantime, we have that token. We have God's nature. We have access through our Lord Jesus Christ. But this is not where I put all my eggs. I put them in the return of Jesus Christ. And then the things of this life that seem so insurmountable now, or so troubling now, or generate fear, begin to do so less and less. Be ye holy, for I am one. And we live on a different plane as sons of God. Right now. You know, knowing what we have coming in the future. Okay? So, aren't those beautiful verses?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Father, thank you for all that we have coming in the future, and just how thrilling it is to see your great love for us, your care, and the awesome, awesome, awesome things we have coming in the future as your children. And Father, I pray that we can grow in our understanding and our appreciation of who we are and what we have coming, and that more and more we can live in light of that return. Thank you for these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.